This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down with State Senator Dave Kinski, who is in Cheyenne. And Mr. Kinski, tell me what's the big happening this week in the legislature?
Well, as you know, Aaron, this is called a general session, meaning it's not just budget, it's everything. This is the opportunity for every legislator to bring bills to the table that they find important for the state of Wyoming. The cutoff for new bill introduction was yesterday, and I think by now there's well over 400 bills that have been introduced. I've got a few of my own as well, and then I have a few bills that I worked up and I passed on to somebody else to carry, because with my Appropriations Committee work, I don't have a whole lot of extra time. And so the main thing is to get the work done. And then the budget, Joint Appropriations Committee approved a budget which now goes out to the House floor and the Senate floor this coming Monday. So the budget was reported out and distributed on Monday, and we wait for 7 days so that people have a chance to try and absorb it, which is still a pretty tall order. I mean, there's billions of dollars in there. Give people a chance to absorb it, see what they like, see what they don't like, maybe what they want to add, cut out. And then on Monday next, we will walk everybody through the budget. The Senate, on the Senate floor, this Appropriations Committee will walk everybody through the budget. That takes an entire day. Then we take a day off so that everybody has a chance, after having heard a detailed explanation, to consider what kind of amendments they want to bring. Then on Wednesday, we have what's called the second reading. And that's a chance where we'll start getting amendments, you know, it could be 30, 40, 50 amendments to the budget. And we will not leave until those all get resolved one way or the other. Then we take another day off to give people again a chance to consider all that they heard on the first and second readings, the amendments they saw pass and fail. And it's their chance to bring back amendments yet again to put their own particular stamp on the budget. And that happens Friday. And it'll probably be a late day Friday, because again, there will be quite a few amendments. Very often you'll see amendments that maybe failed on the second reading. Their champion just doesn't want to give up, so they're going to bring it back on the third reading as well. So sometimes you have the same debates all over again, but that's the way the process works. So then on the third reading, we find out whether there's 16 votes to implement the supplemental budget or not. And it's important to emphasize this is a supplemental, so that the state budgets on two-year cycles. So last year, 2022, the state put together a two-year budget. Now, this year in 2023, the question is, do we want to do anything additional, supplemental to it? And, you know, in theory, we could not even do that, and the state would be just fine. You know, everything's taken care of. There's no emergencies. So we'll see what comes of it, because, you know, there's really only one way to go with a supplemental budget in terms of spending, and that's up. In theory, you could have a downturn and we come down here and just slash during a supplemental. But, you know, as you know, there's over $1 billion in surplus. So the great temptation for people is to spend.
Gotcha.
And I see my job as trying to resist that. I think we have an opportunity to put some of this money into a permanent savings fund, and it'll be there for the future rather than blowing it now because we're feeling prosperous.
Let's talk about the property tax bill situation. Where do we stand with that?
There are so many property tax bills running around that my fear is that we won't get anything done, because there's so many people trying to do so much. So yesterday, for instance, we debated a constitutional amendment that says the legislature can pass a property tax relief program for poor, elderly, and infirm. That sounds great. We already do that. I'm not sure what the purpose of the constitutional amendment is. Sounds good. But we already have a property tax reduction program. It's means tested. That means, you know, if you lack money or assets, you can get the refund, and if you're, you know, well off, you don't. So the constitutional amendment, in my view, adds nothing. That's one example. There's some other examples to try and move to cap the property tax just on homes. And that's an approach I like. Turns out it's a little more difficult than it sounds because you've got so many taxing entities. You know, if you look at your property tax bill, it's not just one property tax bill going to the state. You have all these districts. You have school districts. You have the cities, the towns, the counties. So that one, it turns out, is a little bit more difficult. And then the final approach is one that I worked with staff to draft, and I passed it on to Senator Biteman to take to his revenue committee. He and I talked about it. We both liked it, and that was the idea that former Representative Madden, now City Councilman Madden, came up with. He says your property tax bill is based on a certain percentage of the estimated fair market value of your home, and I think currently that's like 0.93 or something like that. You just back that down to 0.8487, and everybody gets a permanent property tax relief. You back it off enough that you undo this 30% jump in property tax values. So that's one that I really think that's the horse to ride, but of course I'm just one of 93 votes, but I'm hoping that one will clear the fog and make it over the finish line. The other one, of course, is just to take the existing tax relief rebate program and put more money into it and raise the income test and raise the asset test. I heard from some woman that said, you know, I passed the income test. I've just got my Social Security check and a small pension. But the asset test, I flunked. You know, I've got too much money in the bank. Well, you know, let's raise that asset test or get rid of the asset test so that more people qualify for it. And so that gives people some immediate relief. That's a one-time deal. And then permanent relief by reduction of the assessment rate.
Okay, so those are all still in play at this point.
All still in play.
Let me ask a question that's kind of general, but this is the property tax one is kind of what spurred this. What exactly does it take? I mean, if you have a bill that you are pushing or are in favor of, what exactly do you have to go through to move that along? And why does there seem to be such a division between people on their beliefs on how to do these things?
Well, I think it's the way the system is intended to operate. You know, the founders wanted a House and a Senate, and the idea was there'd be, and plus the executive branch, the idea was there'd be a lot of different thoughts and ideas, and they all come to the table. It has to pass through two chambers ultimately to get to the governor's desk. So it's not easy to get anything done in a republic like we have, and that's all by design. So sometimes it gets a little bit frustrating because it's hard to get things moving along. And then the process itself that's outlined by the Wyoming Constitution, once a bill is drafted, the Constitution requires that it be introduced, and then it must go to a committee. You cannot immediately bring it out for a vote. Up or down vote in the Senate floor, and it has to go to a committee. So we have 10 standing committees, one of which is called Revenue. Senator Biteman chairs that one. And so all those bills must go to his committee. That's their job to sort through all of them and either pass them out to the floor or flunk them and keep them in committee. And then so once it comes to the whole Senate floor, now you have to have three readings. And every one of those readings, there's a chance to amend it, change it, kill it. So it just takes a while by design. And, you know, it's the legislature doesn't have a chief executive, right? It's not like you have the mayor has a, like the city council has a mayor. You know, there's 93 strong-willed people, all with their own ideas, and sometimes everybody will kind of coalesce around, hey, here's the horse to ride, and then other times you just never quite get there. But it's all the way the process was designed. It's not supposed to be easy to pass laws.
Well, that makes sense, but it can be frustrating at times, I'm sure.
It can be like swimming through Jell-O.
Okay. There were a couple of things that I saw this past week that I was curious about. Medicaid expansion, I know that's going, it's a House bill, but is that something that the Senate and the House are keeping an eye on this year?
Well, I'm not an advocate for Medicaid expansion, but it will be debated probably multiple times as it was last year, and here's how that comes about. First, you have a bill in the House, so that'll get debated over there. I don't know that any bills for Medicaid expansion have been introduced on the Senate side, but I wouldn't be surprised. The bills we just finished getting all the bills reported out of the lawyers' offices yesterday, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Medicaid expansion there on the Senate side. And then what happened in prior years is when you get to the budget, you have somebody who's an advocate for Medicaid expansion actually brings a fairly long amendment that basically creates the Medicaid program in the budget. And there's a lot of questions about whether that's even the appropriate place to do it, but that becomes a forum for debating. So last year, I recall, we had a Medicaid expansion bill, and then we had a Medicaid expansion amendment that went down, and then the next reading of the bill, that same amendment was brought back, and we had that same debate all over again. So I expect that it's going to be continuously debated.
Okay. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was the reason that the state was against this was because the federal government at one point had said that they would help fund Medicaid expansion, but then they were going to leave that at some point 2 or 3 years down the road to the states to fully fund. And that was kind of the main sticking point, I guess, for the state legislature, correct?
Yeah, so Medicaid expansion comes with a promise from the federal government that they will cover 90% of the cost. All the rest of the Medicaid program is 50-50. The feds pay for half of it. The state of Wyoming pays for half of it. And it's just a huge, huge budget for the state, for every state, and for the federal government, Medicaid, Medicare. So it's 50% on everything except expansion, where the feds have promised it'll be 90%. Now, what's that promise worth? It's happened before. We were promised that they would pay nearly half of special education. It's never gotten over 17%. There was a promise on something called CHIPS, Child Health Insurance Program, and that's fallen from in the 80% down to somewhere in the 70s, down to somewhere in the 60s. So those promises aren't necessarily real reliable. So if the feds change their mind, as with a $32 trillion budget, deficit they very well may, if the feds change their mind and dump that to 50-50, that difference between them picking up 90% of expansion and 50% of expansion is hundreds of millions of dollars. And in fact, it's bigger than what we spend every year for maintenance on every single school in the state of Wyoming. Essentially, you'd more than wipe out the maintenance budget on every school. You wouldn't do that, but that's the order of magnitude of the bill. It's big. And then the other one, you know, that gets debated back and forth, and every statistics I've seen, a state thinks this is how many people are going to enroll, and actually more people enroll. State thinks this is how much it's going to cost per enrollee, and it ends up being more per enrollee. So in states that have expanded, the expense has gone way beyond what all the original projections were. Now, in fairness, Aaron, there are advocates who say, no, that's wrong, and they point to a different set of numbers, statistics, and experts. So I respect that, but I don't want to take that kind of chance with our budget. And I get it. Health insurance is a huge, huge concern. The cost of insurance is just out of control, of health insurance, just out of control. But I don't know that expansion for now is the answer.
those are the questions that I have, Senator. Do you have anything that you'd like to add that maybe I didn't ask?
On the budget, kind of the big top-line picture is this. When the legislature left here last year, we had approved a budget for $2.8 billion. Now, in what is just a supplemental, by the time you take all the extra requests for construction, for extra programs, to restore cuts, so forth, we're approaching $1.4 billion. Half of the budget that we passed the last session, and this is just a supplemental. So I'm very concerned that the fiscal rectitude, I guess is the right word. I'm very concerned that 2 years ago we were tightening our belts, trying to avoid spending ourselves into a deep hole. Now we have this one-time windfall, and all of a sudden, you know, it's Christmas. And not all of those will be approved. I'm hoping very few of them will be approved. Only the most urgent, the most worthy would be approved out of that. But it gives you an idea of how quickly wish lists stack up when there's money to be had. And it's just, you know, I've lived in Wyoming so long, and you see a boom, and then you see a bust, and then you see a boom, and then you see a bust. And it just always seems to be when the boom hits, everybody forgets the bust.
Very true.
I don't forget it, because when times were down, I was the guy that had to cut budgets. And it's not fun. It's very unpleasant. And to see budgets get bloated during good times, well, it upsets me. It really does. Because I know when the bust hits, you got to go through all the pain of reining all that spending back in again. Far better to save the money. Far better to save the money.
That's State Senator Dave Kinski, who is in Cheyenne for this year's legislative session. Thank you so much for joining us, Dave. And this is Aaron with 307 Net Radio. Thank you again.